Good morning. This morning, Fred has said that he's going to be talking about signs. So I thought I'd start out this morning with us with having some interesting signs, okay? Like this one. It says, no trespassing. Violators, those are people who are going to trespass, will be shot. And it says, survivors will be shot again. Now here's another interesting one. This is a stop sign that you cannot make a left turn or right turn or go forward or backwards from. How did you even get to the stop sign? That's what I want to know. That's a weird stop sign. Oh yeah, this one's kind of weird. Maybe it's at a zoo or something. It says, no touching the penguins. Or puffins. Yeah, that's true. Well, you're right. So maybe it's not a zoo. Maybe it's at Antarctica. So maybe if you go visit, they have signs that say, don't touch the penguins. That's very possible. This one is even crazier, and I want to know where this is so I can avoid it. But this says, not only watch for falling rocks, but watch for falling cows. So, I don't know. Maybe they're depressed. It's 2020, you know. Oh, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make milkshakes. That's what they're trying to do. All right. Oh, yeah, this one's interesting too. And it's in Asia somewhere that you cannot transport elephants on this road. No transporting elephants on this road, okay? Oh, and this one kind of goes along with that, is you're not allowed to have elephants stomp on you. No elephants stomping on you. I don't even know what would have prompted that sign. Yeah, apparently. Yeah, you know, stomping on people with your elephant. And this one is a caution sign. I have no idea. Be careful of carrying bunnies. You may fall. I don't even know. This one. Oh, yeah, I mean, this one makes sense. Run from fire. Don't run towards it, right? That makes good sense. Run away. Oh, and this one's really weird. This one's really, no pregnant people. Right? No, why would you have, did you need that one? I don't know. This one's pretty good too. Caution for throwing rocks, I guess. Watch out for flying rocks. That you don't get hit in the head, maybe. Maybe it's at a dodgeball course or something, you know. All right, oh, here's the last one. And this one's my favorite. This is the weirdest one. No running with fish. I brought that one for Don Pettengill, but I know he could be here. So. What? Yeah, I know. Who runs with fish? I know. But this one is like, it's kind of like running with scissors. Don't run with fish, I guess. You need to be careful. Okay, so those signs are kind of silly, aren't they? Those are silly signs. They're kind of weird. And you know, why would you even have signs like that? But what we're going to be talking about today, I think a little bit of what Fred's going to be talking about, he's going to talk about a sign that, if you had heard about these signs when you were living back then in Jesus' time and before that in the Old Testament, you'd be like, that is a weird sign. Like today in Isaiah is telling the king, he's like, this is going to be your sign. This young woman's going to have a baby. And you're like, what kind of sign is that? You know, this one said no pregnancies, right? Why would you? That's a weird sign. You know, there's signs that seem kind of strange to us. And if I lived back in Jesus' time, I think I would have been a person that would have totally missed it. I really do. There's a lot of times that I'm reading there and I go, yeah, I could totally see how the Pharisees would have missed that. You know, but now, on this side, we can look back and we can see how much the Old Testament points to Jesus. And how many of those signs, well, every single one of those signs, came true in Jesus. We're talking about those kinds of signs and not these kinds of silly signs, but signs that seem silly to the people, but then ended up pointing to who Jesus really was, being the Son of God, God coming down to save us from our sins, right?
Thank you, Brother Ben. Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. If you notice when you came in today, we have our
Christmas decorations. Appreciate Jules, and also Susan Crane helps with that as well. Let's praise God for her. Let's go ahead. Thank you. And we appreciate her doing this every year. In fact, she is our decorating lady. I mean, when you see all the changes during the seasons, Jules and Susan come and they take care of that. And we appreciate that so very much. My wife Brenda's back with us today. So glad that she's back with us. We have several of our members who are not here because of the COVID concerns and things of that nature. In fact, we received another message today from another family who's been coming here who said, because of the rise of the COVID and all that's going on, they feel uncomfortable and they will not be coming back for a while. And I think actually that probably makes about 25 people that I know of within this church who are not here, and maybe others as well, who have not returned because of the COVID. And it is a concern, and we want to continue to pray about that. So what we are asking everybody, of course, we put up those protocols, and we are asking people to be sure to wear your mask and wear your mask properly, over the nose and all these things here. Those are some of the concerns that were cited, and we want to just urge people to do that. And we've had several of our members have had the COVID virus, including my wife, and believe me, it's nothing. To think that, oh, this is no big deal, because Brenda certainly had a rough time with it and still is dealing with some of the effects of that, after effects of that, with weakness and coughing. She wants people to know, though, if she's coughing, she's no longer contagious, okay? So if you hear her over there, I don't want people to go, oh, man, stay away, leper, I don't want any of that to happen. She's okay. In that sense, but it still affects people in many ways, and others can attest to that as well. I want us to look at today. This is December, the first Sunday in December. We're beginning to look at some lessons about Christmas during the next few weeks. And today we're going to be talking about the signs of Christmas. And so what I want you to do, I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, if you will, please. Pardon me. Luke chapter 2, and I want to look at verses 11 and 12, and this is the story of the angels appearing to the shepherds. Listen what is said here, verses 11 and 12. It said, the angel speaking to the shepherds says, today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Now, during this time of year, we see all kinds of signs indicating that Christmas is just around the corner. Let's bring up that slide, if you will, please, Marilyn. This is actually across the street. I had another picture. Did I not download that? I must have put the wrong one there. But this is across the street from my house. And not only this morning, I tried to put another picture there. I guess I didn't do that. But on the picture that I took a picture this morning of it, because they also had an inflated snowman and they had an inflated Minion, from the Minion movies. I don't know what Minions have to do with Christmas, but there was a Minion in that on their front lawn as well. But throughout this month, we will be seeing houses all lit up, with Christmas lights and decorated with reindeer on the roof and blown up Santa Claus's snowman in the front yard and a Minion. Stores are filled with bright colored decorations, ornaments, Christmas trees, and holiday music playing over the PA system. I mean, everywhere we look, we see signs of Christmas. And as I reflect on the sign that the angel said to the shepherds were to look for, a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger, it, much like what Ben just said, it seems rather anticlimactic compared to what they just saw. I mean, the shepherds witnessed an angel of the Lord appearing to them, just to them, and Scripture says that it terrified them. And then a company of heavenly hosts, joined in and started singing praises to God. I mean, now that is a spectacular sign that something big is coming. So what can it be? Well, go look for a baby lying in a feeding trough. So that's the big sign. I mean, there's angels in heaven appear, and here's the sign that we want you to see. Go look for a baby lying in a feeding trough. I mean, I don't know what the shepherds are thinking at this moment. I mean, they do exactly what the angel said, but to them, what? Okay, well, we'll go into town, Bethlehem, we'll look for a baby in a barn lying in a feeding trough. Now, this may not sound like a big deal to most people, but when the shepherds saw that baby lying in a manger, it profoundly impacted them even more than having angels appear to them. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, 17 and 18, it says this, "And when the shepherds had seen him," seen the Christ child, the baby, "they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." I mean, that helpless, unassuming child lying in a manger turned recluse, insignificant shepherds into the first missionaries telling people about the coming of the Messiah into the world. Over the years, I have heard many Christians say, "Jesus is the reason for the season." And we all believe that, don't we? He is the reason for the season. And I don't know who coined that phrase, but I'm pretty sure that the purpose behind it was to convey the idea that Christmas is not about the gifts. It's not about the decorations, the trees, but about God coming to this earth in the form of a tiny baby to save the world. It's not that we mean to overlook Jesus during this time of year, but I think that sometimes we just get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the season and with all the festivities that surround Christmas that sometimes kind of overshadow the real reason that we are celebrating this holiday in the first place. On the other hand, I do believe that the bright lights, the festive decorations, the cheerful music, the exchanging of gifts, and so on, can serve as powerful signs of Christmas. So how can we enjoy all the fun and festive elements of the Christmas holiday and still be focused on the true sign of Christmas, the baby born in a manger coming to save the world? What can we do? Well, first of all, we need to realize how powerful Christmas music is. Okay? Realize how powerful Christmas music is. Throughout the Bible, we read how God placed great emphasis or importance on music. I mean, the book of Psalms are merely songs. They are songs that have been written and sung with great emotion, from deep despair to overflowing exuberance. The Apostle Paul urged Christians to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in Ephesians 5, verse 19. And when we get to heaven, we'll be joining the angelic chorus, standing before the throne of God, singing a new song, the Bible tells us in Revelation 14, verse 5. And I love listening to Christmas music. The other people, I love listening to Christmas music, especially traditional Christmas music and Christmas carols. It's interesting. I love contemporary worship music. But man, when it comes to Christmas, man, I love the traditional stuff. Okay? The carols and all the traditional music. I mean, Christmas music has been playing in our house since October. It started with Stephen, okay? Started with Stephen, you know, playing Christmas music since October. And if you turn on my car radio right now, it'll be on the Christmas station. That's where it is. But doing research for this lesson, I read that before the introduction of Christmas carols, celebrations of Christmas had become so depraved and rowdy that the observance of the holiday was forbidden by the English Parliament. I mean, the meaning of Christmas had become lost in the frenzy of drunkenness, rioting, and depravity. Decent people found it necessary to stay indoors just to keep them safe. And that's before COVID, you know, just to stay indoors. It became so bad that in 1644, Parliament passed strict laws making it illegal to commemorate the season in any way and any form whatsoever. They could not commemorate the season of Christmas. However, Christians eventually took back the true meaning of the season, and Christmas carols were the tools, one of the tools they used that helped bring Christmas back and focus once again on Jesus. They found that carols had a powerful effect on people. And I think that hearing and singing the message of Christmas carols still have an effect on people today. Do you? I think it still has an effect. Now, I am not, even though I'm from Oklahoma and Texas, I am not a country fan, country music fan. I'm not a country music fan, but country artist Travis Tritt tells about starting out in the country music business, having to play in out-of-the-way joints before he made it big. And he said that some of these bars were dangerous places with drunk fans starting fights over the smallest matters. But Tritt found a unique way to keep peace in such situations. He said this. He said, when bar fights started getting out of hand, when bikers were reaching for the pool cues and rednecks were heading for their gun racks and their pickup trucks, I began singing Silent Night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And he said that what happened, he said, I sang these songs. He said it could be in the middle of July, you know, with 103 degrees. But he said, I was still singing that song because I didn't care. And when I started singing those Christmas carols, everyone would stop the brawling and start singing. In fact, he said some would even begin to cry as we sang about the baby Jesus. You see, Christmas carols have a way to help us refocus on what the season is about. And with all the preparation, you know, it takes to get ready for Christmas, the shopping, the decorating, the cleaning, the cooking, and so on, it's so easy, I believe, to get sidetracked and forget that this holiday is about Jesus. And when that happens, just take a moment and listen to one of the carols. Listen to Silent Night. O come all ye faithful that we sang earlier. Hark the herald, the angels sing. O holy night, joy to the world. And reflect on the gift of God's Son lying in manger. But then secondly, I believe the common elements of the season remind us, or can remind us, of God's love. Take Christmas cards, for example. This is the first church where I've served that to have Christmas card tables set up so that the church family can give and receive Christmas cards from each other without having to mail them. I've never been to a church that had this set up like this before. And I look forward to this every year because this is just another way that we're able to demonstrate our care and our loving concern for each other. And it also serves as a reminder that we are family connected through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? That we are family. And God the Father sent His Son Jesus to this earth to be the connection between us and Him. I mean, that's why the angel Gabriel reminded Joseph the words of the prophet Isaiah when he said in Matthew chapter 1, 22 through 23, he said, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. God, amen, God with us, living among us, that God is here on this earth. He came to be our Savior. He came to save us of our sins. God made his entrance to this earth in the form of a tiny baby and lived among us. And then there's the bright lights. The lights that I see at Christmas time reminds me of the words of the Apostle John when he described John the Baptist, who was sent by God to testify concerning the light. And in John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, the apostle said this. He said, he, John the Baptist, was not the light. I mean, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The true light is coming to the world. I love the description of Jesus as light. I mean, it's such a beautiful image, one that communicates warmth and wonder, especially during the Christmas season. Light brings comfort to children afraid of the dark. Light keeps us on the right path when we're walking at night. In fact, Jesus tells us in John 8, verse 12, he says that I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. And so as we get caught up in all the things of the season, let the decorative lights hanging on your Christmas tree remind you that the light that brings warmth and comfort and brightens the darkest night has come. Amen? That Jesus has come. Now, how about the Christmas gifts? Number three, the Christmas gifts. You know, as we give gifts to our loved ones and friends, we were reminded, of course, of the story of the precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that were given to, you know, to the child Jesus by the Magi, who had traveled for many, many miles and had traveled for months just to come to worship the newborn king. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12 tells us. But when we talk about exchanging gifts, most of all, gift giving at Christmas time should remind us of the greatest gift that we have ever received, the gift of God's Son. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 3, verse 16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now, Jesus said that God loved you people enough that he gave his one and only Son. You know, we put a lot of love into the gifts that we give to our family and friends, but there is no greater love than what God had put into giving of his Son. And there's an interesting passage. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And we usually focus on the last part of that verse, which says, if God be for you, who can be against you? But we forget about the first part of it. And the first part of this verse says, he who did not spare his own son, did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. It said that God did not spare his own son. He sent his son to the cross. And it says here that he gave him up. Have you ever thought about that phrase, those three little words? He gave him up. I mean, he didn't just send Jesus. Paul said that he gave him up. Have you ever had to give up someone you love? During this year of COVID-19, I think we are now close to the 300,000 number of deaths in America alone during this year due to the virus. Over 300,000. And many of these who have lost their loved ones during this year didn't even have the opportunity to be with their mother, their father, their grandma, their grandmother, their grandfather, their son, their daughter. They could not even be there when they took their last breaths. I mean, they just had to give them up. Give them up. December, this month of December, In our family alone, I've had to, during the month of December, over the years, I had to give up two nieces and give up my dad in December. Gave them up. There's nothing I could do about it. I couldn't stop it. I had one niece died from breast cancer. The other niece died from you know, she was overweight, and she fell and it could not be revived from that. And my dad just died from cancer. And I couldn't stop it. But I gave them up. But the thing is, God could have stopped it. But he didn't. Instead, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He gave him up for us. That's the greatest gift of all. And so on Christmas morning, when you reach for your gift that is, you know, neatly placed under your tree, pause for a moment and just thank God for the gift of his son Jesus, who came and hung on a tree for us. Amen? That he gave him up for us. But then, number three, nativity scenes put the focus back on Jesus this time of year. I don't see many nativity scenes in people's yards anymore as I used to. Is that true of you as well? I just don't see it in people's yard. They may often be in front of churches and things like this. And I'm occasionally might see a nativity scene in someone's yard. And I mean, could it be because more and more people have removed Jesus from the season? Is that the reason? You know, I don't have any kind of display in my front yard anymore. It's just too much work for a fat guy, you know, to do stuff like that. But we do have two nativity scenes displayed in our house. One is at the entranceway. As you come into our house, sitting on the table there, you'll see one nativity scene. As people walk in, that's going to be one of the first things that they see, is the nativity scene there. And the other is a much larger nativity scene that is displayed on top of our curio cabinet. And really, as what I want people to understand, that as we're, you know, people are there, and as they walk past, I want them to see the angel, you know, the wise men, the shepherds, their angel, their animals. I want them to see Joseph and Mary, and especially the baby in the manger, and I hope that it serves as a gentle reminder to my family, and to me, that in the midst of all the holiday activities that we enjoy so much, that we are not to overlook the fact that Christmas is not about us. It is not about us. It is about Jesus. Over 700 years, before the angel spoke to the shepherds, telling them that this is the sign I want you to see, is the baby lying in the manger. 700 years before that, the prophet Isaiah told God's people, the house of David, the Jews, to be on the lookout for that very sign, to be on the lookout for it. It's the passage that the angel Gabriel quoted to Joseph to let him understand that the baby that your betrothed is carrying is truly God's son, and he's going to be the savior of the world. He is going to be called Emmanuel. But in Isaiah 7, verse 14, Isaiah writes these words. He said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel. And Isaiah wanted the Jews to understand that God is coming, the Messiah is coming, and he is going to live among you. He is Emmanuel. That's the sign you look for. That's the sign. I mean, who would have guessed that a tiny, helpless baby would change the world? Who would have guessed? The Jewish leaders expected the Messiah to be a warrior, to take back the throne of David from the Roman Empire. But instead, he came as a baby, born in a barn, to poor parents, and grew up to be a carpenter. I think no other contemporary writer captures the divine essence of God coming to this earth in the form of a baby, as does Max Lucado. Especially his book, God Came Near. It's an old book, one of his earliest books. But if you, it's my favorite. It's my favorite of all of his books. I like that one and why they call him the Savior. But if you've never read this book this time of year during the Christmas season, this is a perfect book to read. Because it's all about God coming to this earth to save us from our sins. But I want you to listen here as I read a portion of his book. God had entered the world as a baby. Let's bring up that slide, if you will, please, Marilyn. God became a man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God is a fetus. Holiness sleeping in a womb. The creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. He came as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. Angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. Whew. Powerful. Powerful. As we think of God coming to this earth as a human. The book of Philippians says that Jesus Christ did not consider equality with God to be grasped, but emptied himself to become a servant. He who was divine put aside all rights of divinity to become a man, to experience the things that we experience, to understand what it truly is to be tempted for the very first time, to experience pain and sorrow, to be humiliated, to be tortured, and finally to be killed upon a cross. God did that for us so that through Jesus Christ we can have eternal life. What a precious gift. Amen? What a precious gift. I'm sure that you can think of even more ways how the common signs of Christmas that we see and hear throughout the season can remind you of the coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, the star, an angel above your tree, on the top of your tree, the ornaments on your tree, the tree itself. But there's more to this than just being mindful of Jesus during the holiday. In fact, there are two things that the shepherds did after seeing the sign of the baby lying in the manger. The first we just talked about earlier is that they went out and spread the word that God had come to the world as a baby. I mean, they immediately left after seeing the baby and went out and told others. They didn't come just to stare at the baby and say, oh, look, he's so cute. I mean, that's not what they did. I mean, they went out and told anyone and everyone who would listen that the Messiah had entered the world. And then secondly, they glorified and praised God. In Luke 2, verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned glorified in praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as the angels had told them. I mean, whether we are here worshiping God or at home, we are to glorify and praise God for loving us enough to give His Son to come to this earth, to live among us, to die for us, so that we could live with Him for all eternity. We've got to praise our Father in heaven And that's what we do here today on Sunday mornings. And we're going to have an opportunity also on Christmas Eve. We're going to have that opportunity once again to come for a Christmas Eve service. I don't know what it's going to look like this year. Usually when we have our Christmas Eve service, I mean, this auditorium is packed, but we're still going to keep the social distancing and masks in place and all these things here. We may not have the numbers that we've had in the past. In fact, we can't have the numbers that we've had in the past. We can only be up to 75% capacity of our building. But yet, as we're social distancing and coming together on Christmas Eve, that we're going to spend that time just praising God. And Don Martyr is putting it together this year as a coordinator. Phil Bacon has agreed to deliver the Christmas message. And we want you to be here Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. Be here and be part of that. Because I think it's very important that we, with all the things that we see this year, just to be reminded of who Jesus is and what He has done for us. So I want to hear from you. Tell me some of the things that remind you of Jesus during this season. What are some of the things that really remind you of Jesus during the season? Let me hear from you. Anybody? What are some of the things that remind you of Jesus? Yes, Rob. Yes, amen. Just to remind us of this, you know, and of course we've all heard the story of the Christmas cane and things of that nature that would remind us of Jesus. Anybody else? Any things of this season here that reminds you of Jesus? Any other elements? Say it again. Of course, the music. Anyone else want to share? Okay, our relationships. Okay. I think those are very important as well. Say it again.
People are nicer.
Oh. Including Julie. But that's true. People are nicer for the most part. You know, except on Black Fridays when you're in the stores, you know, that's a little bit different there. So, oh, yes. Say it again. Oh, the candy canes, absolutely. The candy canes. Absolutely, yes. And Jesus, of course. So these are just reminders. Again, you know, when I started putting this together and what inspired this sermon, I saw a little poem about the signs of Christmas. And in this poem, they talk about these things, the elements and the rudiments of Christmas that we see coming up this time of year. And I think anything that will just put the focus back on Jesus, I think is important for us to do that. Aren't you glad that God sent His Son Jesus to this world to die for you? Amen? You glad about that? I mean, we can never repay Him for all that He's done for us. And yet, He did it because of His great love for us. I love the passage in Romans chapter 5 that says that God demonstrated His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, that passage doesn't say that God sent Jesus for the good people. He says that God sent Jesus for the sinners like you and me. In fact, He also in that passage describes us as ungodly. Ungodly people like us. That God sent His Son to this earth to die for us so that we can have eternal life. It's heartbreaking that it took Jesus dying up on the cross for people to focus on God and turn to God and understand that this is the way that we have to go to heaven. And it was nothing that Jesus, I don't think, looked forward to that at all. I think His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed in agony, Lord, if all things are possible for You, if there's any way for a man to be saved, take this cup from me. But not my will, but Your will be done. And yet He did it for us. And He went to that cross willingly for us so that we can have eternal life. We're going to be singing this invitation song. And during this invitation song, once again, is an opportunity that if there's anybody here today who wants to, you know, who needs prayer, for struggles that you may be going through, who needs prayer maybe for for something and yet you have not repented of and you want to come before your church family to pray for you today. There may be some here who have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. We want to talk to you about that and what that means to give your life to Jesus. You know, again, we're going to be singing this song here, and it's just that opportunity for us. And I want to always want you to understand that the invitation that we extend is an important part of this service. And it's, you know, and I think sometimes if people think, you know, there's something that's really on my heart, but I don't want to come forward there because somebody's going to judge me. And that's not what we're here. We're not here to judge anybody. We are here to help you, to strengthen you, and to help us, and to pray for you. And so if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, we ask you to come as together we stand and we sing.